Shri Srimadis Devangra Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Prem Se Goha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaura Gopakopina Shamakunda Radha Kanda Giri Govardhana Ki, Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki, Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki, Ganga Maya Ki, Jamuna Maya Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Tulasi Devi Ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Jainitai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, you've given out the 15th chapter? Yeah. Okay, so now in chapter 15. Chapter 15, the Pandavas retire timely, Pratigya, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 710, 106 purport. Suta Goswami reveals the purpose of Chapter 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely. In verses 32 through 37, the Pandavas, having no separate mission on the earth apart from that of the Lord, decide to go back home, back to Godhead. When they learn of the departure from the material world of Lord Krishna and the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna's mission was to pick out the thorn of demoniac kingly dynasties lording over the earth with the thorn of his own eternal associates, the Yadavas and the Pandavas. Had he permitted the Yadavas to flourish on the earth after that mission was completed, their descendants might have become yet another burden upon the earth. Thus, like a magician, the Lord disappeared from this world, taking with him his entire dynasty. The instant Krishna departed, the personality of Kali, who was already present, was able to fully manifest his influence throughout the world. Noting the signs of the change of the yugas, Maharaj Yudhishthira understood it was time for he and his family to follow the Lord back to the spiritual world. Okay, so Pratigya, that is meaning that this is how the whole chapter will be interpreted, right? This is the position. Does that make some sense? Is that everything else will be seen in relationship to this. So the point is that the Lord comes with his associates to perform his pastimes. When his pastimes are over, he goes, his associates go. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, there's so many other ways you could take any particular point in the Vedas, right? It means, as it is, there's six schools of interpretation of the same verses of the Vedas, right? Then there's Vyasadeva. And then within Vyasadeva, who accept Vyasadeva, then there's six different branches, right? You have Madhva, Ramanuja, Nimbarka, Vishnu, Swami, you have Baladeva, and you have Shankara. They all accept Vasudeva's opinion and reject the other five bogus opinions. Does this make sense? Therefore, it's very important. Then within Baladeva, then we have specifically our acharyas, how they're going to present it, and then specifically Srila Prabhupada. Right? So then through that's how you approach. This is given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion, in the big opening of the sixth chapter, that when he's describing all the different elements, the 64 items of devotional service, that he's gained this from Sanatan Goswami's work of his Hari Bhakti Vilas. Then within this, then in the first ones that come are all about Guru, the connection to Guru, surrendering to Guru, Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, following the instructions of Guru, approaching the previous acharyas through one's own acharya. Does this make sense? So this is a very important principle. So when it comes into the Shastra also, then we see it through what our acharyas say. And the verse itself, or the chapter itself, or the canto, it has a purpose as given by Srila Vyasadeva. Right? Does that make sense? So this kind of a way of thinking is always there. It's a very important thing. 5.2 Adhyaya Prakash. Summary of chapter 15, 1-6. Arjuna, grief-stricken and overwhelmed, his mind fixed on the Lord, reveals to Maharaj Yudhishthira that Sri Krishna, his dear friend, is now lost to him. Right? It's not just Krishna's gone. Krishna, our dear friend. Right? So the relationship is always maintained. This is something that is you will always find in the Vedic literatures, that some aspect of relationship is always given. Right? We will generally consider that bulky, right? Because in the modern culture, relationships aren't actually the prominent element, right? Means relationships are used to get what you want. Not what you want is there for enhancing relationships. Does that make sense? So many times you see this, and so that's significant, that his dear friend, he could have just said, Krishna's gone. Right? And then said the inherent, you know, but it should be understood, right? This is a great weakness in relationships. You might find this yourself, is sometimes you get into trouble for what you say, but generally the trouble is caused by what you don't say, because you took it for granted that everybody else already knows it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's where the problem comes. What you've said is fine, but what you haven't said, because that hasn't been said, what you're said doesn't come into the proper context of relationships with other people. Does that make sense? If he just says, Krishna's gone, then, okay, Krishna's gone. That's a fact. So what? Right? It's very important to the modern, the fact. But the Vedic couldn't care less about the fact. The fact is only a branch of the relationship. In other words, it's just like this. He says, Krishna's gone. Okay, that's a fact. Okay. Now, the individuals are going to have to naturally then deal with whatever it is going to be the context that they're going to put this fact into, right? Because you have to interpret the fact according to your need. Right? Does this make sense? Are we getting too technical here? Is it all understood? Okay. Now, how Arjuna therefore is thinking and how Yudhishthira will take it might be completely different. Right? Because there's so many contexts of which Krishna is involved. Does that make sense? So then, by saying Krishna's gone, you would think that this would start up a nice conversation or some interaction. It might not at all. Why? Because you haven't established a common ground between the two speakers. Krishna, our friend. Or Krishna, my friend. Then it's yes, Krishna's our friend. That person has been lost. Then the two of them are on the same page when it comes to the relationship. Now together, now they can discuss this point, or they can experience or feel this point. Does that make sense? Therefore, they're so close. So he doesn't take it for granted that, of course, Krishna's our friend, he's always our friend. No, he states it. Then that makes the common ground for them both to think about. Does that make sense? Then from there they can progress together. So this is an extremely important element of social psychology. How you interact, how you maintain, how you express, how you cultivate relationships. So this is the perfection, because it's in relationship to Krishna. You can't get better than this. Right? Does that make some sense? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He recalls incident after incident how Krishna empowered and protected him and the other Pandavas. Arjuna then speaks about the intimacy of his relationship with Krishna and how in the absence of his Lord, he has now lost his powers and was defeated by some insignificant cowherd men. Arjuna relates to Yudhishthira the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. By remembering Krishna's instructions to him, Arjuna becomes situated in transcendence beyond the modes of material nature. After hearing from Arjuna, Yudhishthira and Kunti decide to go back to Godhead. Sutta then philosophically explains the disappearance of the Yadus and the Supreme Lord. Understanding that Kali has entered, Maharaj Yudhishthira enthrones Maharaj Prakrit as emperor, frees him from the material conception of life, and frees himself from the material concept of life, and leaves home to devote himself completely to contemplation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After describing how the Pandavas followed Yudhishthira, and after describing the death of Vidura, the chapter ends with a benediction. So we see from here is that the element of Krishna's gone, and they decide, because the pastime is over, they will go back to Godhead. This is the essential point, right? Because so many points are mentioned here. But this becomes the main point, because we picked that up from the Pratigya, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Shlokanusharanam of chapter 15. Okay, this is 1 to 6. Srila Suta Goswami tells the sages that being extremely grief-stricken, because of separation from Lord Krishna, Arjuna's mouth and heart had dried up, and because his voice had become choked up as well, he could not properly reply to Yudhishthira's inquiries at first. While checking his tears and breathing very heavily, Arjuna remembered Krishna's chariot driving and other friendly activities, and thus his affection for the Lord increased at every moment. At last, Arjuna answered his brother, "O King," quote, "O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who treated me just like an intimate friend, has left me, and thus my prowess, which was astonishing even to the demigods, is no longer with me. I have lost him, whose momentary absence would render all of the universe's void, just like lifeless bodies." Right. So he's pointing out here is that if the Lord wasn't in the universe for a moment, everything would be, the whole universe would be useless. So then how much more difficult is the situation where it's not a moment? The Lord's gone. Does that make sense? So he's bringing out the intensity of this, you know? And this where he's treated as an intimate friend, you know, performed all his activities. So then, in that, then the Pandavas and that will be able to remember about the Lord. They'll be absorbed in the Lord. So even any conversation, because the Lord's involved in it, therefore it gives remembrance of the Lord. Is this, yeah? Makes sense. Okay, then, 7 to 8. Quote, "It was only because he had mercifully empowered me," Arjuna continued, "that I was able to vanquish all the princes at Draupadi Swayambara and conquer Indra and his host of wrathful demigods so that Agni could devour the Kandava forest. And because of Maya Dhanava's gratitude at being saved from Kandava fire, we Pandavas obtained by the Lord's grace our wonderful assembly house where all the princes assembled to pay tribute to you at the Rajasuya Yajna." Right? So now he's going through things that one might think that he accomplished. But he's pointing out he's only accomplished it because of the Lord. Right? A very essential point in our life. Because otherwise the devotees, we do wonderful things. It's amazing. You know, you take a bunch of hippies, right? You somehow or another bring them in contact with Srila Prabhupada. A few months later, they go out around the world and open yatras successfully and make other people into devotees. Right? Is that normal? People that their whole life is dedicated to long hair, illicit sex, intoxication. Right? That's their philosophy. It's not even just fun. It's a philosophy. Right? Then they, 3 months later, with a shaved head, right? No intoxication, no illicit sex. They go out and open a whole country and then convince people in that country. Right? Or, you know, maybe you give them 6 months or something, or whatever it was, a few months more. They go to England, right? And you have these hippies that all they do is sit around and listen to music, the Beatles. And they go to England, and because there's no place to stay while they start the temple, they live in the Beatles' house, hosted by them. Does that make sense? Now, is that amazing or not? So that's the whole point, is that this is the thing, is that the Lord empowers. Now, one could think, yes, yes, you know, we were so cool, we went there, and the Beatles were so impressed. They said, hey, why don't you come and stay in our house? No. They know it's Krishna, it's Prabhupada. Otherwise, how does it happen? They wouldn't even meet them, let alone live in their house. Does that make sense? Or how is it, you know, just someone is able to, just after a few months of coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, go to some place they've never been before, or maybe they went there once hitchhiking through some place, right? No money, no contacts, no facilities, nothing, and just go and happily go there, you know, sit down, start things. And this is not just brahmacharis, this is also grihasthas. Sometimes couples would just go off, hey, let's go open a temple in Santa Fe, right, out in the middle of nowhere, right? Like that. A few cactuses to talk to and stuff like that. I mean, that's what's out there. And they just go out there and just, you know, find some people, sit down on the sidewalk. They don't have food, money, nothing. Sit down, start doing kirtan. People ask, what are you doing? Where are you staying? Oh, we're no place to stay. Oh, hey, you can stay with us. And... that makes sense. So this is what's going on. So it's not just 5,000 years ago, it's going on now. But if it's recognized, then it's so powerful. As soon as you think, I did that, okay, if you did that, then it's back to what you are. Right? Punar Musika Baba. Like that. 7-8. Nimisha. In his purport to verse 8, Srila Prabhupada notes, the club of Bhimasena was also a gift of Maya Dhanava. Okay, continuing verses 7 and 8. It was Krishna alone that enabled Bhima to kill Jarasandha, Nimesha. See ninth purport for an elaboration on the indirect assistance Krishna gave to Bhimasena for his duel with Jarasandha, which lasted 28 days because these two powerful opponents were so evenly matched. They were both as strong as 10,000 elephants. That doesn't mean that they were just saying they were really strong. It means they were that strong. Bhima could, he would go and pick up elephants and just toss them in the air and have them land on other elephants like that. That's what he would do for fun, right? When it come to fighting, he would just, when he's on the chariot and he sees other charioteers, he would fight with his bow and arrow and all this. But then when he'd drive by and see the elephants, he would just get off the chariot and just go out there and start, you know, picking them up, throwing them around, grabbing by the trunks, swing them around, throw them. You know, like that. So it's, you know, like you got some serious business and then you walk by the candy store or something and whoosh, inside to have some fun, like that. So when your queen piteously fell. Must be fell. You see? Maybe make a note of that. At the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, after her hair was rudely loosened before the public by the abuse of Kauravas, it was he who then decided that the hairs on the heads of the queens of Kuru would be loosened in grief over the loss of their husbands in the Kurukshetra war. Sri Krishna saved us from the wrath of Durvasa Muni. Nimesha. In purport 11, the wonderful story of Durvasa Muni's visit to the Pandavas with his 10,000 disciples is recounted in detail by his divine grace. Continuing. Only by Lord Krishna's influence could I astonish Lord Shiva with my fighting ability and thereafter reach the heavenly planets. There Indra and the demigods took shelter of my arms in the campaign against the demon
Nibatakavacha. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna withdrew the Kauravas' strategic intelligence and their enthusiasm for battle. And so their expert arrangements for victory came to naught. But it means amazing stuff. You have a human, and the demigods are calling him and taking shelter of him to defeat demons that they cannot defeat. Right? This is special. Or that he goes and impresses Lord Shiva. Right? Lord Shiva is the lord of the material energy. So therefore, any individual thing in the material energy wouldn't be very impressive. Right? Because the material energy is his wife. So he gets the whole material energy in one place at one time. So seeing it all together, then it's a nice person. Right? You know what I'm saying? So you take just one fraction of a portion of a point, then he's impressed. So that's Krishna's potency. Nimesha. Srila Prabhupada comments in Purport 15. The absolute personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expands himself by his plenary Paramatma portion in everyone's heart. And thus he directs everyone in the matter of recollection, forgetfulness, knowledge, the absence of intelligence, and all psychological activities. The absence of intelligence and all psychological activities are absent. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As the Supreme Lord, he can increase or decrease the duration of life of a living being. Thus the Lord conducted the battle of Kurukshetra according to his own plan. He wanted that battle to establish Yudhishthira as the emperor of this planet. And to facilitate his transcendental business, he killed all those who were on the opposite party by his omnipotent will. The other party was equipped with all military strength, supported by big generals like Bhishma, Drona, and Shalya. And it would have been physically impossible for Arjuna to win the battle had the Lord not helped him by every kind of tactic. Such tactics are generally followed by every statesman, even in modern warfare. But they are all done materially by powerful espionages, military tactics, and diplomatic maneuvers. But because Arjuna was the Lord's affectionate devotee, the Lord did all this himself without personal anxiety by Arjuna. That is the way of the devotional service to the Lord. In other words, you would have to do it yourself. You can understand this is on the top level. In one of the traditional Indian martial arts systems is considered five levels of perfection. The first level is where you learn general martial arts, so that you can basically, against most situations, defend yourself. Right? The second level is considered all the secret techniques that you would use in situations that you wouldn't even consider fighting. You know, you would be sitting and eating, and then you use your bowl or something to fight with, or you know, stuff. You know, does that make sense? Like that. Or you're sitting down doing achman and putting on your tilak, someone attacks you and you use the achman spoon. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's there's systems. The third level then means that you yourself have special potencies. You know, like in this system, people who go through this, they can jump over high walls and different things like that. In the system, you don't come up to the wall, peer over it. You stand next to it, fully armed. You just jump up on top of the wall, and then you look the other side. If it's favorable, you jump over. If not, you jump back. You know, so things like that they can do. The fourth level means then the deity empowers you. Right? Means the deity enters your body and then through you then performs amazing feats. Then the fifth level is the deity himself does it himself. You don't even have to worry about it. Does that make sense? So something that we would just take, yeah, I've heard that story a million times and yeah, okay, yeah, that happened. It's not understood what is the level of it. Right? In other words, Prahlad Maharaj. That's the fifth level of martial arts.
You just don't do anything, and the deity comes and does it for you. Does that make sense? So here's another example. Arjuna doesn't even have to worry about all these political elements, diplomatic maneuvers, military tactics, espionage, all that. The Lord does it for him. Right? Arjuna didn't even know many of the things. So at the end of the battle, when it was over and they were getting, they were finished, then Arjuna Krishna told Arjuna, you get off the chariot first. Right? But no, the driver gets off the chariot first and arranges things, then the Kshatriya gets off the chariot. You know, so the etiquette it works like that. Does that make sense? But Krishna told, no, it's got to be the other way around. So Arjuna was a bit, insulted, but whatever, he got off. And then when Krishna got off the chariot, then the chariot just immediately burst into flames and burnt to ashes. Because there was so much ill will directed at Arjuna that Krishna just kept it all in the chariot. But as long as Krishna was there, nothing happened. But as soon as Krishna decided, I'm not on this chariot anymore, then the effect of them took place. So much was there, Arjuna didn't even know about it. You know? Or like Krishna pushed with his toe the chariot and then drove it into the dirt. And so this powerful weapon just knocked off Arjuna's crown instead of cutting off his head. So like that, so many things. Krishna himself did it. Or with Karna, Krishna himself went and got the charity of Karna's effects of his charity. Right? Because charity personified was protecting Karna, because there was no one as charitable as Karna. So any arrow that Arjuna sent at Karna turned into a garland that just went around his neck. You know, a little frustrating. you can imagine, you pick up a big bamboo to go to whack it over somebody's head and it turns into a lotus flower. And he goes, nice flower. You would get a little annoyed. So, Krishna, he arranged all that, to remove it. So Arjuna didn't have to worry, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, there's so many underlying things here that the Bhagavatam is just giving the highest possible platform. Yeah, does that make sense? Continuing, quote, great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, this Karna needs to be corrected, Karna, Bhurishrava, Shusharma, Shalya, Jayadratha, and Bahlika. Bahlika was, that I remember, is Shantanu's brother. Right? That means grandfather Bhishma's father's or uncle. Right? So he was even senior. That's why it says grandfathers, great-grandfathers on the battlefield. So Bahlika is in that category. So if you think Bhishma goes back a long ways, then you have Bahlika. And this is, right, he's the, great-grand uncle. But still he's on the battlefield. He's something to contend with. So that's a Kshatriya. They all released their invincible weapons at me during the Battle of Kurukshetra, but by Krishna's grace they could not harm me. 16 to 17. Nimesha. In 16th purport, Srila Prabhupada details the deeds and fates of four figures prominent in Mahabharata, namely Karna, Napta, or Bhurishrava, Trigartha, or Shusharma. Oh, really? Shusharma is the king of the Trigarthas. And Jayadratha. O king, Lord Krishna, the Trigarthas were always allied with the Kauravas. And generally, you see, I think they were a bit kind of a wild bunch. Because whenever they were doing something crazy, the Kauravas, they'd always call in the Trigarthas. So that must be headed by Shusharma. Quote, O king, Lord Krishna used to decorate his pleasant joking and frank talks with me with beautiful smiles. That, as I now remember them,
rent my heart. I am stunned to recall his addressing me as, O son of Prita, O friend, and O son of the Kuru dynasty. We used to eat and sleep together, and we would simply pass our leisure time enjoying life together. Sometimes as we would brag about our respective prowess, if Krishna would exaggerate, I would reproach him by sarcastically saying, My friend, you are speaking very truthfully. Due to the intimacy of our relationship, the Lord would always excuse these utterances that minimize his value, just as a true friend forgives his friend. As I recollect these intimacies, I find myself overwhelmed by grief. Due to separation from Lord Krishna, my heart feels void. In his absence, my Kshatriya powers, once unmatched in this world, are slackened. I was even defeated by a band of cowherd dacoits while escorting his queens from Dwarka to Hastinapur, Nimesha. The real reason for Arjuna's defeat is revealed in Purport 20. In the Vishnu Purana and the Brahma Purana, it is stated that once the fair damsels of heaven pleased Astavakra Muni by their service. The sage blessed the women that the Supreme Lord would become their husband. Astavakra's body, being curved in 8 places, obliged him to walk in a very peculiar manner. When these same women who had been blessed by him saw his manner of movement, they could not check their foolish laughter. The angered Muni cursed them to be kidnapped by rogues, even while they would be wives of the Supreme Lord. The remorseful girls managed to pacify Astavakra, however. So he blessed them by saying that they would once again regain their husband after being kidnapped. So as to keep Astavakra's words intact, Lord Krishna personally became the dacoits and kidnapped his own wives. Otherwise, if real rogues had touched Krishna's wives, the ladies would have immediately vanished from the scene. Arjuna continues, I am the same Arjuna, and I was using the same chariot, drawn by the same horses, and I wielded the same Gandiva bow and arrows. However, in the absence of Lord Krishna, all these have become null and void. Verses 18 to 21.
So the relationship is so close that here Arjuna can put Krishna into the inferior position, right? Because he is a Kaurava, which means he's from the Sun Dynasty, and Krishna's a Yadava, which means Moon Dynasty. So the Moon Dynasty is always submissive to the Sun Dynasty. It's just the way it works. Therefore, you may have great kings, like, let's say, Vikramaditya. But if you see the line of the histories, you don't see his name mentioned. Right? Even though he was so great and powerful and lived for 2,000 years, you'd think he'd be on the list. No, because he's Moon Dynasty. Does that make sense? Yeah. So here, then when Krishna... So for having fun, Krishna for fun boasts, over-exaggerates, right? So then Arjuna is saying, yes, you're speaking so nicely the truth here. You know, all the facts are perfectly represented, you know, like that. So then it becomes some fun. Because you're saying it because you know the friend knows it's not, but you're just having some fun. So this is the position. Then we also see here is the position of... the Lord's devotee, the Brahmins, that they give blessing, then it works. And the Lord will even go to the trouble to keep it intact. So because of his connection with him, the wives would be kidnapped, but they would regain the husband. Therefore, he came as those cowherd men, and stole all the queens. Otherwise, as mentioned, if they just tried to touch them, they would just disappear. Like Sita, Ravana tried to touch her in the previous life. And when he came to grab her, then she just disappeared. Just left a little pile of ashes. So, like that, then they can't be touched by the mundaners. Like that. So and even in the present life, then when Ravana took, he actually took Maya Sita. The real Sita, Agni, was keeping. So they can't be touched. Only the Lord can touch. So... You have to understand, one understands, therefore, that the Acharya's point is the correct point, that it had to be Krishna. The other thing is Ashtavakra. He is there, so the Vedic culture, one doesn't worry about these things. It means the position of being deformed in that is particularly a despicable position, because it's coming from some bad karma. Right? But if somebody's other qualities override that, this should not be seen. Right? Like in the spots on the moon. Does that make sense? It just shouldn't be dealt with. So, Astavakra Muni, because he was bent in eight places, then he would move about in a unique way. And so, these would have been young girls. He blessed to have the Supreme Lord as a husband. So, Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book that young girls have a tendency to laugh at anything different. Right? Dogs will bark at it, girls will laugh at it. You know, like that. So it's just, yeah. So one has to be careful. Just because it's one's nature doesn't mean it's appropriate. That's also important to learn, yes.
It appears in this chapter so many different examples of things which are happening between devotees due to, as you mentioned in the beginning, very nice point, that due to some misunderstanding. It means like you mentioned that more important how a person understood than what was spoken. So I heard that in Yoga Sutras, Patanjali Muni explains that if one one minds would never become peaceful if there are some people who are unpleased with one's behavior or attitude. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it creates a big problem in the society if we are not cultured in the art of being sensitive towards people's understanding of our points. Mm-hmm. So my question is, what is actually proper position of an individual in the sense of having power to change the situation for the better?
Okay, so the question is how much does the individual have the ability to influence the situation when it's in so that the activities within that situation come out nicely?
If, let's say, a person somehow don't want to understand because of something or...
Okay. So the question is now becoming very specific. It's not a general question that how do you deal with it, but you want to deal with it, but the person you're dealing with is not interested in being dealt with. So then it becomes very easy. You don't deal, you leave the situation.
But then how to think about the on the scale of the society?
Okay, so here, we'll do one thing. Ask a question that can be answered, that you want to hear. Don't ask a question that, you know what I'm saying? It's not a game. Right? Probably perfect questions, perfect answers. Convoluted questions, then either very unpleasant answers or no answer. Like that. Maharaj gives no answer, and again takes his stand that questions are useless and he doesn't want to deal with them. Or you get me where I'll answer them, but you might end up as a little pile of ashes. You know what I'm saying? One question hasn't been answered and then you play with it. That's why you're not successful. Because you just play with people's minds. You won't let the person be as they are. You have to play. You have to tinker. You have to see what I could squeeze. What happens if I say this? If I poke here? I press here? But that's science. That's not a relationship. The point is everyone at every moment has the ability to do the right thing in the situation. You have that free will. The situation you find yourself in, that's predestined. But what you do in it, that's your free will. So you always have. That's the point. Now, a fine point within that. What if the other person is not interested? Therefore, you don't deal with them. A fool you cannot convince. Right? It is said in the Shastra that the sun might become cold. Right? Water may give up its wetness. Earth may give up its fragrance. Like that. Does that make sense? But a fool can never be convinced. That's an absolute. Right? You might be able to change the nature of everything else in the universe, but you can never get a fool to listen and understand. Therefore, one doesn't deal with fools. That's all. So someone who is not interested, you just don't, you just, you know, say something pleasant and leave. That's it. And anytime they want to talk about it, you just deflect the conversation and get out of it. It's not worth it. There is no reason. It's against Shastra. It's a waste of your time, their time, everybody else's time. So it's just left. That makes sense? Okay. So that's the point. You have to want... The question has to be answerable. The question has to be beneficial. Does that make sense? And the question should be asked with the desire to get an answer, not to just create interaction for the experience of interaction. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then you'll find difficulty, because not so many people like that. You know what I'm saying? Especially these days, people are much more less humble, less tolerant, you know, like this. So they just don't like, how you say, emotional trippiness. It's popular, you know, in doing it, but it's disliked. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be very, very careful like that. Okay? This doesn't mean that anybody should be afraid of asking questions. It just means that know what it is you want and that it's something that you want an answer for. You know what I'm saying? In other words, don't ask a question that as soon as the person starts talking, no, but I mean this, so why didn't you state it in the first place? In other words, if you can't state your question basically in one sentence, you don't have a question that can be answered. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, we just catch the mood and the vibe and go off of that. So if you're having a question-answer session, it's nice. It's anything to create something to talk about, interesting, it's different, you make it practical. It's nice. But in here, because there's so much volume of material and everybody's trying to get down to understanding the main flow of what's going, and then from there you can start adding on to it according to your ability. Right? Like that. So just like the bird has to be able to fly. Once it can fly, according to its ability, it flies at different levels. But it has to be able to fly. So we have to be able to understand what is going on here, focusing. You know, here's the pratigya. That's what the chapter is about. All everything else is added to that. All the things, the relationship, this, that. But the point is the Lord's gone. We're his associates. His pastime is finished. It's time for us to go. And so all this is just tasting all the different aspects of the relationship with the Lord. And that Lord has gone. That Lord has finished his pastimes. So we as his humble servants also go. Does that make sense? Because then it's very clear. Your mind will work very clearly. And it's good. And everybody will be satisfied with the question. Does that make sense? Background you give afterwards, right? It's like this. I'll give you a little hint. Is, if you're dealing in an intellectual circle, right, where intelligence is the main thing, you start with the point being made exactly. The more surgical the exactness, the better the question and the answer and everybody's involvement in it, because everybody, like this, the pratigya, you know exactly what they're trying to say. Then you fill it out. Does that make sense? And then if need be, then you start to give examples and background and everything like that. You'll see. Suta Goswami or Sukadeva Goswami will make a point. Then that will raise questions on that. Then all the stories and examples come. Right? So this is when you're dealing with intelligence. In the intellectual circles, it's done like this. Right? If you're dealing with sentiment, you're dealing with the mind, you're dealing with emotions, you do exact opposite. Right? Because in intelligence, you're not dealing on the relationship point here. You're dealing on what is the philosophical or what is the point. Then we will put that in context of unlimited application. Does that make sense? Because we're dealing with the principle. That principle will have so many details. I can apply it in my life here, that I apply it as a brahmacharya, as a grihastha, vanaprastha sannyas, or as a brahmacharya vaishishudra, or in management, or in teaching, or this, or that, or in my personal life, or my family life, or the community, or... You understand? So the same principle can go in all of that. Does that make sense? So you start with the main point, you understand it, then you start to see how it goes and how it applies, and that's how gyan works. Right? And then by practicing that, it becomes vigyan, then you understand how in so many situations to apply it. Okay? Now, if you're dealing with emotion, someone is in a particular emotional state, or you want to state something emotional, then you start with the field. But you don't start with everything over here and there, you know, unless it just establishes the field, it establishes the relationship. Once the relationship is established, then you make your point. Because in emotion, if the field is not created, when you make the point, it's dry, it's intellectual. So the mistake will be made, the other person thinks there's no relationship. Or there's something wrong with the relationship. So you have to establish a relationship first, then make your point. But with intelligence, then you make the point, then you fill it out that it applies to people, which means you bring in the cultural and emotional aspects. You understand? So, in this, sir, please try that. Everybody should try it. You have to make this distinction. Like Arjuna here, it's an emotional thing. That person who is our friend, who's done this, who's done that, who's done everything, is gone. You understand? Does this make sense? Very important point. And that's connected to the first point I made, is that when you're starting on that intellectual, that emotional point, and you're stating the field and all those things, make sure it's clearly understood what the relationship is. The other person may know it, but sometimes you need to state it. Otherwise, it may not be clear. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Okay. Okay. We're up to 18 to 21. Okay, so are there any other questions on this point about the particular, that Arjuna is... appreciating that everything of his ability was coming from Krishna. And... he's seeing that in the context of the relationship he has with Krishna. You know. And so, therefore, it's such a great loss. Any questions on this? Or? Yes.
How do we realize we're not the doer?
How do we realize we're not the doer? Prabhupada gives an example of the same qualified doctor with the exact same kind of disease and situation of a patient. One lives, one dies. Because Prabhupada said if we were the doers, then every patient of a good doctor would live. But sometimes the exact same situation, one lives, one dies. You know? Or why is it that you're in a social situation and sometimes you feel not really part of it or don't know what to do, and sometimes, you know, whatever you say, it's happening and you're getting all the attention, and, you know, that's what it's saying, you know, when you're hot, you're hot. Right? So where is that coming from? If you were in control, why is it sometimes you're hot, sometimes you're not? Right? So you can practically see that it's not there. So the more you focus on the Lord, concentrate on the Lord, then you see that results come good. If not, at least good is you remember the Lord. So that's, you're doing the activity to be satisfied. Right? So if you're satisfied, even if it doesn't come out right, but you know that relationship with the Lord and the devotees has been enhanced, then that's perfect. But still, because the result is for Krishna, you're trying to give Krishna a better result, so you try to make it better. You're not just satisfied, well, I got a good experience out of it. No, but Krishna should get one also. So therefore, I try to get better results for him. Does that make sense?
Yes. It seems that to make the endeavor means you have to do the endeavor. So is Krishna also the doer of our endeavor?
Is Krishna the doer of our endeavor? He's the ability. Krishna says in the Gita, he's the ability in man. Point is man proposes, God disposes. Right? So we want to do something, and then Paramatma sanctions it or not. Because it's the modes of nature doing it anyway. How is 1/10,000 the tip of the hair picking up your arm and scratching your head? Right? You know what I'm saying? So that means you want to do that. So then Paramatma sanctions it. The modes of nature then start working. The air pushes on the fire, which pushes on the muscle, which, in other words, air is pushing on fire, which is pushing on earth, and then the arm goes up and scratches the head. So it's all being arranged by everybody else, but because it happens as we're thinking, that we think we're doing it. It's made like that because the point is the pastime. Krishna is everything and doing everything anyway, but he wants that the pastime interacting with the devotees. So therefore, he's arranging that all. And then he makes it so wonderful that he then puts that arrangement under his Surup Shakti so that even he can take part and even think that it's not happening. Therefore, there's fate, there's this, that, because then it doesn't always go the way he wants. Right? If everything happened exactly the way you want it all the time, you would get bored. You would think, no, it'd be great. God, who's been doing it eternally, gets bored. Therefore, he's created this variety. Sometimes he gets, sometimes he doesn't. Ultimately, he always gets, but there's obstacles. Right? So if God, has created it like that, generally you can't get better than his arrangements, Does that make sense? Is that okay? Okay. See, that's the point. You give very clear, short questions, you can get very exact answers, and then it moves quickly. So that way, when we have time, we can answer actually many questions like that, because everybody has lots of questions, but the reason it hasn't been addressed is because they get very lengthy questions and answers and this and that. No, you know exactly what you want, then you'll also know when the answer comes. You know what I'm saying? If you know what you want to say, you know when it's been answered. If you don't know what you say, even if it's been answered, you still don't know it's been answered. Like that. It just happens. Does that make sense? So this is a good example. You get both extremes of examples here. So it's been very educative today on the questions, since the Bhagavan course is on questions like that. But I'm just saying it's common. It's that without practice, everybody tends to do it. So it's just a matter of you will have a question, think about it exactly down to what's the point that from that you can actually get the working answer. All right? Okay. So then Maharaj said, mentioned that there's a handout, Shanti. Okay. Okay, so here's the, after you get from Kashishwar Prabhu, here's your essays. Maharaj has corrected them. You can look at them. He felt that Shanti Prayana Prabhu's was very nice. He was suggesting maybe we just read it.
quickly, just so you can get an idea of this, because it uses the element of the pratigya, getting down to the essence here. So this is from, okay, Dhritarashtra quits home. The pratigya of this chapter 13 is the successive exit from the material tabernacle of different players in the Lord's Bauma Lila. Frustrated sentiment pushes Dhritarashtra to the platform of Adhira. The Yadus are removed en masse, and the Pandavas voluntarily move to their allotted position in service to Lord Krishna. Right, so he's pointing out some are frustrated, some have to be removed, and some do it voluntarily. One, the phrase, "and he is awaiting the rest," refers to Lord Krishna waiting to take the Yadu dynasty back to the spiritual world upon his departure. They all descended to assist the Lord in his pastimes to perform his stated purpose. Bhagavad Gita 4, 7 and 8, quote, "deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the religious principles." Right, so he has three there. Two, ever attentive to their relationship of service with their friend and protector, Lord Krishna, the Pandavas will follow the advice of Narad Muni, seeing him as the Lord's envoy. Witnessing many omens, their reasons for remaining on the planet are disappearing. Narad Muni is speaking tenderly to support them and give future advice, saying, "stick around until the Lord departs." Unquote. Narad indirectly reminds them of their imminent departure also, as they are eternal associates of Krishna. With the completion of his mission, the Pandavas go with him from this particular universe. Just so as not to further disrupt the mood of the already distraught Pandavas, Narad Muni does not disclose the facts of the Yadu dynasty's annihilation. Hearing the loss of all their family relatives, friends, well-wishers, etc., would plunge the suffering devotees into despair, like Arjuna in the next chapter. Soon enough, they will deal with the finality of bodily relationships. Point three, the abrupt reality of the destination of Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and Vidura serves as a prelude to the overwhelming truth of the Lord's winding up his pastimes, of taking the whole Yadu dynasty back to Godhead. All these occurrences lead up to the retirement of the Pandavas, as they never remain far from the Lord. Okay, so Maharaj thought this was a nice example. Okay, so then these can all be collected from Kashi Shwar Prabhu. He also has some reprintout of the verse selection and the graphs. There were some mistakes. Those have been corrected. And, And there's some other stuff that you're distributing. Okay. So then we'll end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Maharaj also said to mention that those who are the enrolled students should see that their 100 rupees is given to Kashishwar, because that's directly used, the money you get is just used to print these papers. And as you notice, the papers are getting fatter, so it becomes more essential that you hand that in.